You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 25, 2012. It's 2021. See how fast you can get your numbers turned around and be confused? Ha! Just testing you and myself, apparently, at the same time. The Biden administration continues to get criticism for holding unaccompanied migrant children in Border Patrol custody, some longer than the legal 72-hour limit. This is the same Biden administration and those around him that chastise Trump constantly for not taking care of children and locking them into cages, and that's exactly what they're doing again this time as well. They're holding more than 700 children in a specially opened facility that had been used 1 month during the Trump administration. But they've got so many unaccompanied children coming across the border now because the Biden team had made it clear that once I'm in office, we won't have no stinking border. But we still have a border, and right now those kids are being held because they don't want to just simply let them loose in the U.S. Who knows what would happen to them? And in fact, when it comes to releasing, because there is an overflow at this point in some of these detention facilities, like in Yuma, Arizona, and it's going beyond the COVID distancing rules and so forth, they're now releasing some migrants into town with a date to appear in court later. Do you think they will show up? Do you think they will show up once they're given that notice to appear? You are now free to roam about the country. Please come back on the date stated that you will then have a hearing as to if you get to stay in the U.S. They're being released all across southern Arizona right now. And local leaders say, we're not equipped to handle this. Well, here's something that's going to make the left really, really happy. Tax records that former President Trump was trying to keep secret for years, now in the hands of the New York District Attorney. He got them just hours after the U.S. Supreme Court denied Trump's last-ditch effort to keep the records private. Millions of pages of documents. Tax returns running from January 2011 to 2019, financial statements, so forth and so on. They are not to be made public. They're supposed to be kept private. We'll see how fast somebody leaks them because it's Trump. The Biden administration announcing a new program to deliver free masks to Americans and communities around the nation. They're looking primarily at some 25 million masks. They want to drop them off at community health centers, food pantries, soup kitchens, to encourage others, Americans, to start wearing the mask, and because maybe they don't have them or anything they can use. They're going to spend $86 million to do this. In the meantime, the director, Dr. Francis Collins, with the National Institute of Health, said, listen to this, even after folks are vaccinated, quote, we don't know exactly whether it's still possible for that person to carry the virus. It might be, and until we have a better idea, masks will still be important. They want to keep the mask on you as long as possible. The House Progressive Caucus Chair admitting that if the Senate parliamentarian votes that a minimum wage increase cannot be passed via budget reconciliation, Senate Democrats will overrule the parliamentarian. In other words, they're going to find one way or the other, to force a $15 minimum wage across the nation. Peter Yarrow of the 1960s folk group, Peter, Paul, and Mary, accused in a new lawsuit, accused of raping an underage girl in his hotel room in 1969. That suit filed in Manhattan. The top board members of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, make that the Unreliability Council, announcing they're going to resign from their posts because of that deadly winter storm that left millions without power. I don't hear anyone crying for them. Not yet, anyway, and I doubt you will. And we are going to see more investigations into what took place, and I think we should. Because what happened in Texas should not have happened, and it's clearly because they were pushing more green energy and did not plan for additional help and to even winterize the turbines. Hey, I've got a couple of stories coming up in the next segment that I can't fit into news and commentary right now. Mr. Potato Head, sexist object or not, and the FBI and UFOs.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Till I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Name one abortion restriction that you might support.
Senator, let me try to respond this way. I have tried to make sure on this important issue for so many people, where oftentimes, again, we have different views, but deeply held views, that I have tried to make sure that I am abiding by the law. Because whether it's a particular restriction or whether it's the whole idea of abortion, whether we agree or not, we have to come to some conclusion.
Well, did you hear an answer to the question? Did you hear an answer? Let me help you out. No, you did not. That was Senator Steve Daines, Republican, Montana, asking the nominee for the Attorney General, Biden's nominee, Xavier Becerra, name one restriction for abortions that you would support. Just give me one. Give me one. Well, Senator, let me explain it this way. I believe the truck comes down the road a little too fast and the bus goes the other way, and normally we should have lollipops on Sundays. What? Yeah, that's pretty much it. There was no sense made out of that answer. We're going to go back to it in a moment. But again, here we have the Biden nominee who will not answer a specific question, a very direct, distinct, specific question, reference abortion. We already know he's got radical pro-abortion views. We know that. He's been serving as a California Attorney General. And he's gone after anyone that would interfere with Planned Parenthood. You recall the undercover video that came out by Project Veritas and similar type groups, one of them involving some of the video that they were talking about selling body parts from those who had been aborted and what they could do with them. And maybe one of the people even joking, well, I'd like to get enough money to buy a Lamborghini or something of that nature. They thought it was just funny. Planned Parenthood sued because of those undercover videos saying that we were basically duped. The person taking the videos is posed as to be one of our employees when they were actually an undercover reporter. Well, my gosh, how do you think they would have gotten it otherwise? If they came to the door and said, here are my press credentials. I'm here to do an undercover investigative story on how you are aborting babies and selling the body parts in violation of federal law. Oh, sure, come on in. We'll tell you everything you want to know. You know that wouldn't have happened that way. But did you see the Attorney General of California, Becerra, going after Planned Parenthood when all that broke? No, 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 no. What he did, along with former California Attorney General Kamala Harris, when she came in, or she was already there first, they went after the guy that took the undercover video. They claimed that he was in bad faith twisting and perverting the California's anti-eavesdropping law and unprecedented persecution. All of this is, of course, so they can try to claim that he was acting wrong. He exposed what they were doing, and because it's Planned Parenthood, which the left loves to endorse and support, the best way to fight the evidence is go after the guy that came up with the evidence. No, let's don't discuss the actual details of the evidence. Let's discuss the guy that did it. So here you have now Becerra, 63-year-old son of a Mexican immigrant, who is still locked into Planned Parenthood protection. And he's nominated to be our next attorney general, the one who will oversee, referencing Obama healthcare exchanges and abortion laws as applied to them, abortion laws across the nation, what will or will not be challenged by the feds, that will be in his hands. So the question again from Senator Daines was, just give me one abortion restriction that you would be against. So let's pick up another part of the interview, kind of where we left it off, to see if we can possibly get Becerra to quit doing the Becerra dance and give a simple, clean, understandable answer to a very simple question.
Whether we agree or not, we have to come to some conclusion, and that's where the law gives us.
But is there, just to be clear, is there any line you would draw? Is there just one restriction that relates to abortion
that you might support? Senator, you're talking to the spouse of a OBGYN who for decades has practiced saving lives of women and babies. And I can tell you that from the stories I've heard from Carolina, my wife, I know how hard many women struggle just to save the life of their baby. And so what I would say to you, and I know that right now as I speak, my mother has blessed me this morning as I got ready to come here. And last night, I know when she prayed the rosary, as she does every day, every evening with my aunt, that she said a prayer and included me in that
prayer. Well, there's, you know, part of it's the battle for those who don't have a voice, which are the little babies. And you didn't answer the question about any, even one restriction.
And the Becerra dance continued. I've seen a lot of politicians dodge questions directly. But I have to admit, this is the first time I've seen one invoke his mother as part of his defense, in the sense that she prayed the rosary for me, and she prayed for me last night, and she and my aunt prayed for me again today. I'm glad they do. I'm glad that I have people in my life and throughout my life that have prayed for me and still do, and I pray for them and others as well. Did he think by invoking his mother, saying the rosary, that would make him, what, saintly? That would make him not have to answer such a question? I couldn't even begin to tell you what he must have been thinking, but I will tell you this. I know the Obviously, his mother appears to be a very staunch Catholic, as he is, supposedly, as is Joe Biden. I do know that staunch Catholics are not in favor of abortion, except in very rare cases. And there are restrictions that some would say, yeah, I can uphold that one, but not the others. Like maybe to save the mom's life, that I would be in favor of no restriction on that, that yes, the abortion could be carried out. But he simply asked, Senator Dane simply asked, can you give me one abortion restriction that you could accept? The dance continued. We'll come back to it in a moment. Let's reset the stage a little bit. Again, at the federal level, the Hyde Amendment and a federal abortion ban both limit abortion access nationwide. They limit abortion access nationwide. Federal level attacks on abortion access also include attempted 20-week bans. Planned Parenthood is making it very clear that these things are damaging and detrimental to what we try to do. We're all about the women's health. Make that women's health, of course, you can emphasize that, but they're not about the baby's health, the unborn baby. That's not even a factor. And did you note also Becerra pointed out that, well, as a spouse of an OBGYN, I know and I've heard the stories about many women fighting to save their babies while having a difficult pregnancy or something. Well, those are certainly understandable, and I'm sure that his wife serving as an OBGYN has saved many of those women and their babies. That still does not answer the question, would he support any particular restriction on abortion? We've got a federal restriction on abortion, according to the Planned Parenthood group, that says affects more patients than the patients who need second trimester abortions and the doctors who care for them. Because they want to say that federal and state 20-week bans basically have forced, and this is the wording from the Planned Parenthood, have forced women who want to have end of pregnancy to have serious problems, and when they try to do so, if they can't get a reasonable medical reason for having one. And they point out that politics has no place preventing doctors and other health professionals from informing patients about all their health care options. And doctors should not be criminalized by providing constitutionally protected care. Now, we have numerous states and various laws in the various states. And in some cases, they do, in fact, try to restrict insurance coverage of abortion. And they also have abortion bans involving specific weeks of pregnancy, mandatory ultrasounds, of course, the fetal heartbeat bill, which is one of the ways to make sure that if there's a heartbeat, then that's got to be considered a baby. You can't just abort it if you hear a heartbeat. And then you have the 2002 Born Alive law. Democrat Tim Kaine had argued that the bill was unnecessary. What it does basically is saying if the child is born alive, then you need to do everything possible to take care of the baby. Otherwise, it's infanticide. But again, for the left, whatever the mother wants, whatever the mother wants. So again, let's try one more time. Senator Daines, Republican of Montana, questioning Xavier Becerra, nominee for Attorney General, on do you have any one restriction, abortion restriction, you would accept? Here we go again.
You didn't answer the question about any, even one restriction on abortion. I didn't get an answer from you. Let me just throw one out there. How about a ban on the lethal discrimination of babies who are diagnosed with Down syndrome?
And so, Senator, if I can simply say to you that I respect the different views that are out there, but what's important is that it makes sure that my view is according to the law.
If you're confirmed, you're going to be the head of the HHS. It's a huge organization. It has profound impact on our society. How about a ban on sex-selective abortion? Whether the little baby is a male or a female, would you say you can't have a sex-selective abortion?
And I respect those who take a particular view. My job will be to make sure that I am following the law.
There's a ban on partial birth abortion. I know that question came up yesterday. Is that yes or no? Would you support a ban on partial birth abortion?
Again, Senator, you're asking questions which will touch on aspects that I know have different views. And what I can say is that I will make sure that I'm respecting the law on those issues.
Respecting the law, well, if the law gets passed by a state legislature, that's their law and their state, but as Attorney General, he might push the Justice Department to challenge it and charge into it, so he's not respecting. And when he said, well, some of these things, like when the question was raised about what about an abortion based upon gender, that the parents didn't want a boy, they want a little girl, or the other way around, and to abort for that reason. That was basically the essence of that question. And Becerra again said, well, I understand their views on different sides, and I try to understand the view. How about the view of the baby? How about the view of the baby being born? We already have enough crazies in this current world that if the baby is born with a penis, they want to start trying to convince the child that it shouldn't have one and maybe it should come off. Or reverse the other way. Not one time did Becerra do anything but dance. And I didn't like the music to start with, much less the dance. All right, let me turn to something a little lighter for you. UFOs. UFOs and an FBI investigation. Or is there one? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Before I get to our story about the UFO and the FBI investigation, are you aware of this? You've heard, I'm sure, and maybe have played with yourself and are for your kids and grandkids, Mr. Potato Head. That's a Hasbro toy, obviously. 70 years around. Originally came up by a guy in Brooklyn that was planning to market kind of a pushpin style face pieces and body parts, and consumers would use their own vegetables to jab into the body to whatever they wanted to identify on that body. But then later Hasbro got into it. I should say the Hassenfield brothers learned of it, bought the idea, put it in the National Toy Hall of Fame as it became officially Mr. Potato Head. Now Hasbro owns all the marketing. Well, now Hasbro is recognizing we need to make changes in today's world of woke generation. You can't call it Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head. How dare you? How sexist? So they're promising a modern makeover. Now, currently, they still name them as that, but they're going to do it. They're going to make changes. It's going to debut later this year. They say kids want to be able to represent their own experience. And the way the brand currently exists with the Mr. and Mrs. is limiting when it comes to both gender identity and family structure. I cannot believe it. Just why did I spend my time and your time on such a story? We got to be concerned about kids and Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, that it's going to be, again, a confusion about gender identity. Quentin, why didn't you come in here and yank that out of my hand? Set it on fire in front of me. All right, I'm sorry. I'm over that, I think. Back to something of real value, UFOs, or maybe not. An American Airlines flight over northeast New Mexico over the weekend, flight 2292, bound for Phoenix, Arizona from Cincinnati. It was a Sunday afternoon, and the crew looked, what is that? What is that thing up above us? In fact, they radioed to the Albuquerque Control Center, do you have any targets up here? In other words, you have something else in our airspace? What they said, we just had something go right over the top of us. One of the pilots says, I hate to say this, but it looked like a long cylindrical object that looked almost like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast went right over the top of us. Apparently the Albuquerque radar did not detect it, and no one else did. The FBI is now asked to take a look at this. American Airlines confirms that, yes, the pilots did radio in that they saw this object moving really fast right over the top of them, and they wanted to know, is there something else in our airspace, and what was that? Now, UFO means unidentified flying object. So anytime something is a UFO does not mean it's a spacecraft from maybe Mars returning to us since we sent something to them, or someone from another galaxy deciding we need to see how stupid these people are. We heard they elected a guy by the name of Biden. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't put that into there, but you never know. But the FBI, of course, says we're aware of the report. But the FBI, I love their response all the time. We don't comment on investigations we're not conducting. We don't comment on investigations we are conducting. So nothing really there from the FBI. So far. Well, what do you think about taking the nuclear codes away from Biden? That's kind of embarrassing, don't you think? And then a senator who says, I know who won 2024.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a heavy trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, I don't know if he'll run in 2024 or not, but if he does, I'm pretty sure he will win the nomination. I look at the polls, and the polls show that among the names being floated as potential contenders in 2024, if you put President Trump in there among Republicans, he wins in a landslide.
Those are the words of Senator Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah, in an interview with the New York Times, saying, yeah, if Trump decides to run again in 2024, he will win the Republican nomination. Now, right now, the CPAC is gathering in Florida. The Conservative Movement Premier Conference beginning this weekend officially, but some of them already began to gather. Trump is to be a keynote speaker. This is, again, CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. And even a piece written by Politico acknowledges that Trump, the keynote speaker, is the party's undisputed leader at the moment and for the foreseeable future. And in fact, according to Politico, whether he chooses to run again in 2024 or not, his outside presence is likely to determine the shape of the primary. In fact, a veteran GOP strategist who was interviewed about the story by Politico said, there isn't a Trump lane. There's a Trump turnpike with multiple lanes and multiple people. Politico points out that conversations with more than a dozen Republican consultants, strategists, and officials depict a party over which Trump exerts an irresistible gravitational pull, pointing to his continued strength in polling, the megawatt energy he generates among the GOP grassroots. Again, all of this from Politico. Under a title of an article, the GOP's choice in 2024, Trump Ultra, Trump Light, or Trump Zero? But no one believes it's going to be Trump Zero, even Senator Romney, who is not a fan of Donald Trump. And in fact, according to a quote in the Politico article from the Michigan State Chair, Trump remains the 800-pound gorilla in the room. He just happens to be sitting in the corner right now. And that the social media deplatforming of the former president, by that, they're talking about Twitter, Facebook, shutting him down, not letting him have access. The Michigan State Chair says that's kind of more like an electronic dog fence. You might keep him out of that area, but you could still hear the bark. No, that's true. So we have at this time, apparently at the CPAC event, they are expecting something like maybe at least 8 GOP hopefuls for 2024. Not just Trump. There are those others who are running down and wanting to make their voices heard at the conservative gathering to say, don't forget me. One of them being Florida Senator Rick Scott. He's also going to be speaking to them. Texas Senator Ted Cruz will be speaking to the group. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And apparently his stock is beginning to increase rapidly. He is, as some say in the Politico article, has sterling MAGA credentials in the way he's handled COVID and his status as a governor of Trump's newly adopted home state, which now Trump has won twice. Once against Hillary and then again against Biden. And to this day, Florida Governor DeSantis refuses to publicly acknowledge that Joe Biden was legitimately elected. Oh, I know, I hear the noise already from the left. How dare he say that? How dare he continue to question? That's a conspiracy theorist. You are making it up. There's no fact. There's no... Would you pause just long enough to look back on Hillary Clinton and the rest of the left as to how they besieged and attacked Trump from the very night he won the election against Hillary, and that they never accepted it, and they did the same exact thing that Senator Cruz was helping lead this time around when it came to certification of the votes? They tried to challenge numerous states. In fact, they challenged more states on the Electoral College certification than the Republicans did this time. And I would guarantee you, if you ask Hillary, do you think you lost the election or that Trump stole it? She's going to say he stole it. She would never lose. And Democrats believe that as well. So they're allowed to have their, quote, conspiracy theories and storyline, but you're not allowed to question. You're not allowed to question. Which brings me to still another person that's going to be showing up in one of the Trump lanes at the Turnpike at the CPAC. That would be Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. Yes, he's been making some noise lately and certainly standing out more and certainly doing a better job for Missouri and the nation than Claire McCaskill did. And, of course, you still also have South Dakota's Kristi Noem, another speaker, considered a dark horse candidate at this point. But she once gave Trump a miniature Mount Rushmore that featured his face. And you're also going to have Mike Pompeo addressing the members of CPAC. Mike Pence, unceasingly loyal to Trump, as pointed out by Politico, but he refused to reject the Electoral College certification. And that did cost him a lot among Trump supporters. He declined an invitation to speak. Three other names that are maybe going to be in play. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. Obviously, Florida Senator Marco Rubio. And the former UN ambassador, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. But she recently stepped out of the Trump lane, complaining about Trump. And when she recently tried to have an audience with him at Mar-a-Lago, don't have any time. I got a tea time. Sorry, don't have time. So that's not working well for her either. But Romney has already said, on the record now, if Trump decides to run in 2024, he will get it. And the Democrats have got to decide, where are we going to be in, one, the midterm election coming up, and then again in 2024? We won't be able to run Biden again. That just can't happen again. He probably will not. I still don't think Biden is going to make it through the first year, his first year. You got Harris standing by. She's anxious and ready. She did not sign on to be VP So she's ready. And already there are new concerns that we're seeing from the Democrats. Are you aware that some Democrats have now drafted a letter expressing concerns about President Biden's authority to launch a nuclear attack? They think he should have to consult with the VP and the Speaker of the House before he does so. Democrats basically submitting a letter saying that maybe Joe Biden should not be in charge of the nuclear codes. They don't want him to be in charge of making that decision. These are Democrats. Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, said, well, this is really weird.
Look, one can have one argument or another with regard to whether to what extent we ought to be involved in foreign conflicts at any moment. One can have one opinion or another about at what point it's appropriate for Congress to declare war rather than having the president order discrete strikes. But look, the fact is the president is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces.
Now, that's clear. He is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Are Democrats getting a little concerned because they don't think he's going to be firm enough with China? Or maybe the way he's maybe already cozying up to Iran, that he might not use him when he should or use him when he shouldn't? I mean, what is their thought and their concern? Well, you don't get that very clear, other than the fact that they sent a letter to Biden directly, as a matter of fact, urging him to give up his power over the nuclear launch codes, adding that having that power poses, in their words, real risk, and they have apparently concern for the judgment of past presidents, and now they're laying it at the feet of Biden. Again, the reaction from Senator Lee, a Republican.
This is why we subject presidents to a very rigorous review process. That is, they have to win elections. Right. Once they've won an election, you really do have to pick that horse and then ride it. You've got to let the president be the commander-in-chief. This seems really weird to me that they'd take that away. And by the way, who are they going to give that to?
Right.
They're going to give that to a committee run by Congress?
Chuck Schumer?
In addition to being wildly unconstitutional, this would be horrible policy.
Absolutely. By committee, we're taking a vote. Do we launch a nuclear missile? By committee. Well, could we form another group to study first before we make a decision? And by the way, can we get lunch brought in while we're deliberating? As a matter of fact, I've got something on my schedule. Can we come back tomorrow? I mean, the whole idea is that if you're going to make a guy, the commander-in-chief, he has the authority to make that decision. Now, of course, everybody, those on the left were absolutely fearful of Trump. He was going to get us into a nuclear war. Didn't happen. But now the Democrats seem to be fearful that maybe Biden would do it. All right, in the next segment, let's take a break. Let's go to something really nice and enlightening. I want to share a report from Fox on Pastor T.D. Jakes and his story. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When the Bible said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, you can't be fruitful if you're not stable, and you can't be stable if you're guided by your emotions.
Bishop T.D. Jakes, a phenomenon of biblical proportions, is a dynamic preacher with a bellowing voice whose ministry at the 30,000-member Potter's House in Dallas, Texas, has reached millions globally. He's an entrepreneur, film producer, author of several books, and a radio and talk show host.
I've always been bivocational, and I think I'm successful, but you have to realize I'm comparing that to the wages of my father, who was a janitor.
Born in South Charleston, West Virginia, to a mother who was an educator and a father who started his own janitorial service. He grew up in the racially and politically tense years of the 1960s, but with parents who were strong in their faith and in their African-American lineage. Raised in the black church, he had a passion for scripture.
When did you get the calling?
I had this insatiable hunger for the Word of God, to read it, to understand it.
When his father died, Jakes, at 16, turned to the only help he knew, the Bible.
I was searching through the pages, looking for mentoring and guidance and answers and to fill the void of losing my natural father, and ran into my heavenly father. And that started a journey of which I am still on yet today.
Those are the words of a pastor, T.L. Jakes, known as Dr. Jakes sometimes. He has a mega church in Dallas. CBS was doing a special report on him here during Black History Month. He is considerably wealthy, something estimated to be something like $20 million. That does not make a pastor wrong or illegitimate. The reference of the degree is a question, and I only bring that up not in a challenge to Jakes, because I think he has done an outstanding job in helping people find their way, especially in religion. And God uses people at all levels at all times. But his degree is from the Friends International Christian University, which bills itself as committed to helping educate those for service in Christian ministry, regardless of your background or time. And basically, $3,600 to get a doctorate. So money can buy a degree if you don't have the time. Again, that is not to dismiss what he's doing. Pastors, especially black pastors, have a major impact across our nation on a constant basis, as do other pastors. But the biggest problem right now in the community across our nation is there a home environment? Is there a home environment? And that's where many times black pastors can have a predominant effect and a prominent effect upon those around them. Benjamin Watson is a former NFL player. He is executive producer of Divided Hearts of America. And he's been preaching on this whole thing about how important family is to sustain African Americans. In fact, he wrote a piece, an opinion piece that got published, talking about that during Black History Month is a good time to know and recognize family and faith continue to inspire and sustain African Americans. And added, the home is the world's oldest and most important institution. I second that. He adds, this basic social building block is not a recent product of the Western mind, nor is it an insignificant concept to be casually discarded. On the contrary, it is mankind's oldest institution, established at the beginning of time, charged with the essential task of raising progeny with the love and discipline needed to responsibly contribute to the betterment of society. And from creation through the millennium, this unit of man, woman, and child would always be the holistic way that social capital, moral order, and ingenuity would be passed to the next generation. It remains the most impactful mechanism by which language, faith, and self-concept are imparted to the young and demonstrated by the old. Family is important to all of us. It is important especially where families are at risk, be they minority neighborhoods or just a family that has been ripped apart for some reason. Mothers can do only so much in raising kids by themselves. Fathers can do only so much. Together, hopefully, they do a better job. Not always, but it increases the opportunity of success for the children. And so again, in the essay from Ben Watson talking about Black History Month, he said, many families around the nation, like many, my family has been intentional in honoring and remembering the people, places, and periods of Black American history that have charted our journey from then until now. And he also says, we might have had flawed beginnings in this nation, but this story is still being written, and the story could only happen here. That we have the full realization of inalienable rights for everyone. Everyone. Powerful words. for all families, for all races, all religions. Let us remember our pledge. Let us remember our pledge. One nation. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.